1. Mathematics is the language of nature. 2. Everything around us can be represented and understood through numbers. 3. If you graph the numbers of any system, patterns emerge. Therefore, there are patterns everywhere in nature. Evidence. The cycling of disease epidemics. The wax and wane of caribou populations. Sunspot cycles. The rise and fall of the Nile.
Welcome to Red Ice Creations Radio. This is Henrik Palmgren coming to you from the west coast of Sweden. New or regular listeners, welcome. Nice to have you with us today. The website is redicecreations.com, and this is the place where you'll find our radio archives, going back to over a year and a half. And those who subscribe to redicecreations.com have full access to our radio archives, so head on over and take a look. This past Thursday, we had Nick Begich with us from Alaska. Today, we're going to go a bit further down south to Hawaii. We have Marco Rodin with us on the line, and we have an interesting subject to discuss today. Marco Rodin's vortex-based mathematics, numbers, numerology, the Rodin coil, and a lot more. We're going to talk about the vortex-based mathematics and try to break it down for those who are new to Marco's work. I've been watching many of the videos that Marco has available on his YouTube channel. Very interesting material. Pop on over there and take a look. Simply go to youtube.com/Marco Rodin. Also take a look at his main website, marcorodin.com, where you can find a lot more documentation, images, and other reports and so forth. So let's tune in to the program.
Let me give you some quick overviews. You ready?
Yep.
I'll run down the list. You ready?
Yes.
I don't know if it's a good time now, but interrupt me anytime you want.
Sure.
Number one, that video is almost 15 years old. Number two, discoveries and applications and inventions have been made, none of them of which is online. The reason it's not online is the same reason that video is 15 years old and I only just put it up, is that I have to pay the bills and I don't have any time to work on my project.
Mm-hmm.
So because of lack of being able to hire a web designer and an animator and people who can do the work, nothing gets done.
Mm.
My goal, I would leave the country. I would go anywhere to have a staff, to have people to help me, where I could afford to pay people to get things done. So I'm literally wasting my time here where I'm at. And I'm just, it's just impossible for me to make any headway. The only big development is in the state where I live, the Department of Education wants me to recreate their entire math program for all their schools.
Mm-hmm.
But again, for me to write grants and to get the funding, it's going to take another year or two or 3 years, and it's just such a waste of my time when I have to wait for money and not being able to do anything.
So, okay, so I mean, what are your plans? What do you want to do with this?
Well, I could hire a staff of just to do a textbook, a video, just to put the information, get a webmaster and put the information on. I mean, like if anybody's listening in the audience and they would want to come, and I'd even give them free rent, a place to stay in return for, if it was a webmaster, for getting this information up. I'm not trying to patent it. I'm not trying to copyright it. That's the problem. I don't have an economic model. I don't have a capital. It's called a capital enterprise model.
Mm-hmm.
What I have is if I can just give it away, then what I would do once I felt it could stand, it wasn't dependent on me and it would survive on its own, and I knew it was going to endure, and people could then benefit and make their own inventions and apply it. I would go ahead and then make my inventions myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I would start applying it to genetics and to propulsion and make a spaceship and make very advanced motors, very efficient motors. My crudest coil gets double the output of the magnetic field,
mm-hmm.
which then translates into electricity. So, I mean, the fertile ground, the potential for inventing on this is just absolutely extreme.
I heard your interview that you did with Renz a few years ago, I guess it is now, and if I remember this correctly, we're on with a guy from, wasn't it like Microsoft or something, that was kind of endorsing your work? How did that turn out?
He considers me a direct competition to him and a direct threat.
Now?
Now?
So he changed his position, so to speak?
No. He hasn't changed. It was always that way.
Okay.
What he did was he made a discovery on how to use it for operating systems.
Mm-hmm.
His discovery, he decided to patent. He told me that he could not discuss the discovery with me because it's being patented and it was all proprietary and he couldn't jeopardize it.
Okay.
I said that's fine, and I asked him for when he does an offering if I could have an option. So because I said I need money, and if I could have an option like everybody else, I would pay and buy the stock. But he was afraid that I was going to sue him, that I was going to claim that he had stolen from me.
Mm.
He never stole nothing from me. I have no patents. I was thankful for him applying it and taking it to other applications and specialties. I never required him to sign a non-disclosure agreement, never required him to sign a non-competition agreement. But he comes from Microsoft, where it's dog-eat-dog.
Mm.
And so he was frightened that I would litigate with him. And so he moved to China, and he could afford to invent and do things there, and he was back and forth between Australia, and I just stopped. I usually don't keep up my communications with people. He did something very big for me, and I was very grateful. He gave me his name and his reputation, his resume, his whole professional career he put on the line for me. He put his head on the block,
mm-hmm,
chopping block,
mm-hmm,
and endorsed my work with his credentials, and I who could ask for more?
Yeah.
But when it comes to money, it's always everybody is the survival of the fittest, and I'm obviously the one who's going to lose.
So there's not at this time anything kind of thing that you can do with your vortex-based mathematics that you can.
There are things I can do, but I can't keep up with my day-to-day things. I can't keep up with the bills. I certainly am not going to try and take on anything more.
So what you're doing right now is basically that you want to hand it over to someone that can pick up on this, then?
You can't hand it over. Nobody knows or handing it over is the same as me doing it.
Sheesh.
How I would hand it over is I would do a video and a textbook. To hand it over would still take years of work.
So, okay, let's back up a little bit here and first talk about the videos that you have available right now on your YouTube channel, which, by the way, is youtube.com/Marco Rodin for those who want to check that out. But you're saying that video is 15 years old?
Hard to believe, isn't it?
Mm. Really? Jeez.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time,
it was done in the early to mid 90s, mm-hmm, in Makawa on Maui in the state of Hawaii.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see here. What you're discussing in that video still is, you know, you said that you have made some, you know, discoveries after this, of course, and this has developed and so forth, but, I mean...
When I did that video, I had no recognition, I had not one endorsement, I had very little evidence or proof.
Mm.
I was making claims, I was making huge assertions. The difference... Russell Blake from Microsoft had not reviewed my work. The professors at the University of Hawaii had not evaluated my work. All the app. Now what I have instead is I have people who have solved huge, very famous questions in mathematics and science and physics using my work, but the results haven't been published.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was to put up the answers and put up the applications, it would put my work on a more easily recognized by conventional academia, by mathematicians at the university level, by physicists at the university level. Everything that I have really up online right now is only understood and appreciated by people who have had their own altered state metaphysical miracle happen in their lives, and so they immediately identify and recognize it's true. Most people don't have the ability, based on what's up there, to know that it's true. So instead, I should put up the stuff that's up there that will prove, because it's their papers, they're peer-reviewed, or they've been applied to things, and it's explained in a very technical, mechanical engineering-type fashion. So what we have right now is just a very crude presentation up on YouTube where I just free stream, I just go through it. It's not codified, it's not organized. It's certainly profound. I mean, I'm the only... what I put there, you know, nobody's accomplished mathematically. Russell Blake, the review after that, said I have mathematical perfection. He says, I'm the first one to ever model the internal volume of a torus. I'm the first mathematician to ever model a perfect 3D or omni 4D and dimensional higher math form of mathematics. Fourier equations, calculus, I can't do what I do. I'm the first person to ever be able to have the most coherence, the most consistency. I'm able to model it mathematically and observe an energy, a spirit, prana, chi, whatever you call it, tachyon, monopole, dark matter, dark energy. I have found the missing energy in the universe, and I can see it, I can observe it, I can tap into it as a work wheel to make electricity and magnetism, to make a propulsion system for travel. I mean, it's very hard on me because there's so much I could accomplish and do if I had a means to do it.
Okay, so let's talk about what is happening kind of right now. We can move in and talk a little bit later more about the possibilities where this might go, and we also are of course going to try to break this down more for people who are not at this point familiar what we are talking about at all. But are you still teaching classes and courses on Hawaii? How's that going?
I'm always teaching classes. I did a couple this week. My classes are in my home office, which is an 8 by 8 foot dry erase board. I'll be giving extreme classes starting the middle of February. For the next 2 months, I'll be using an LCD projector. I'll be going over projecting about 500 detailed different perspectives, different views of my discovery, cross sections, top, bottom, you know, every type of view, angled view of the torus, of the donut, of the vortex, and the underpinning nested vortices. I'll be explaining how everything, all motion and vibration. I'll be explaining the morphogenetic field, the bioetheric template of DNA, genetics, the secret of cellular communication. So, yeah, I am ramping up. I am gearing up. I'm about to do a whirlwind of instruction. And I'm going to film those classes. I'm going to put them up on YouTube as well.
Excellent. That's an awesome idea. How about the folks who are, for instance, in that video that is on YouTube right now? Have those people kind of picked up on this and taken it further? What is happening with the people that are taking your classes and courses?
Well, they apply it to their specialty. It takes them a while to get up to speed. I mean, it's very exhaustive for me to be always teaching. I don't get paid. I don't charge for the classes. They're always free. It just depends on who you're talking about. The results of their discoveries are not up online yet because I don't have a webmaster. But I could give examples of discoveries and applications at the University of Hawaii. There's one where it explains the growth of plants and how that explains prime numbers. There's another discovery that explains, I'll just say that the professor who did that, I'll call his first name, I'll say is Scott. Then there's another teacher named Farron, and Farron figured out why the base 10 system becomes a torus and why base 15 and base 16 doesn't. The next torus is base 26, because it's the next prime squared, 5 squared. Next base system that makes a torus after that. Of course, that torus has 4 conductors. Instead of being bifiliar, it has 4. Still only has 1 gap space in the center. I know nobody knows what I'm referring to. And then the next base is base 50, because it's 7 squared. So it turns out that the reason we count in base 10 is it's the first true prime with number 3 squared, which makes modular 9 base 10. There's other people's discoveries. There's nothing up online really about the healing machines, the radionic devices. They've sold probably in excess of $50 million in machines, people who've gone and put my coils in them. The coils are very crude, very primitive, but they've had a lot of positive results treating cancer and other diseases. I still consider it a very primitive technology, the radionic technology, but...
But this could
do a lot of studies.
But this could potentially pick up. I mean, I don't know how things work in that world in regards to industry design and implementation of new ways to think. I mean, this could take time? Are you considering that it's not fast enough, and at this point you're not getting?
I'm not going to live too much longer. I mean, I'm 52 now. I've been going at this since I made the discovery when I was 16. I only have so much time left to really work on this. Plus, I'm torn between other responsibilities, just my day-to-day work and keeping, you know, paying the bills.
Sure.
But the thing is that, I mean, there's very crude, simple applications of my work, like a ceiling fan. I mean, just it could be economically driven applications that are very commercialable. But to me, that's still just such a primitive application of this discovery. I could make a ceiling fan motor. My crudest coil from Hewlett-Packard Materials Testing Division in Colorado, they tested and gave me certified results that I was getting minimum of 60% greater output of the inductance. And that the second and third coil went on to have double the output. Essentially, I know the secret of magnetism.
Mm-hmm.
I know how to create a massive amount of magnetism that obsoletes everything we do today. And so my desire really was not to reinvent the motors and to create more efficient motors, which I could do, and it would be an immediately achievable end. But rather, my goal was to make really another type of technology. I call it there's pictures of my coils at John Louise Nodden's website under B-field torsion effect. Because I claim to be harnessing an energy that's never been seen before, I predicted that when I was tapped into, it would make a localized space-time implosion. It would make a huge funnel, like a tornado or a hurricane. It would make this huge vortex.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has pictures of my coil energized with these huge magnetic fields, so powerful that it looks like you're looking into a huge tunnel, a huge vortex of magnetism. That's a solid-state motor. So what I claim is I can make motors with no moving parts, but my technology and science is just so far ahead of what's out there. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just wanted to ask, give us that the URL again where people can see these pictures.
Okay, just a second.
Sure.
Go to my computer. Okay, I've never spoken to him, and I've never communicated with him. One of my students sent him some schematics and diagrams of coils based on my work.
Mm-hmm.
His main website is J for Jerry, N for Nancy, A for Apple, U for Up, D for David, I for, I don't know, and N for Nancy, .free.fr. So it's jnodden.free.fr, which is France.
Right.
And his name is Jean-Louis Nodden, JEAN-LOUIS. NAUDIN. And so on the front of his website, he's very well known. Halfway down it says, the ether tensile stress with B-field torsion. And what they're claiming is that they're able to do a twist in the ether itself. But it's really, no one really understands my work. Really what I'm doing is I'm harnessing the ether as a positive emanation, as an inertia ether, with velocity and as a vector. And so what I'm doing is I'm curving the space-time instead. It's kind of, I'm exactly the opposite. I never really explained it to him. So you go to the ether tensile stress, B-field torsion, axiom spin field, and at the top of his pages, my coil's turned on. It looks like a person's iris, these huge fractal spiral arms with a hole in the center. The hole is very important. I predicted that there'd be a tor, a vortex, a hole, that if it was working. And so he has pictures, and then it goes to B-field torsion generator. And that's it's under magnetic vortex.
Under so magnetic vortex, okay.
Jnodden.
Sure.
.free.fr/html/magvtx.htm. So it's mag vortex.
Yeah.
Here, I can send you a link right now. I'll copy it. Essentially, the thing is he who controls magnetism controls the universe. And I know the secret of magnetism. It's just that simple.
Let's back up a little bit here at this point, Marco. And for people that aren't at all, familiar with your work, Marco Rodin's vortex-based mathematics. That's the main, title of your videos that you have up there. So at this point, I mean, considering that you've been working with this now for such a long time, is there any easy way to explain this for someone who's a novice or new into this?
Because it's so easy for me, the whole topic, I mean, I see it like a beautiful, bright, sunny day. I can see all the way into the end of the horizon. It's just too easy. Here, let me just type in your address here. Okay, here it is. So, I guess to keep it simple, I took the infinity, which is called 2N, the binary code, and I was able to show, which is also the process of doubling of cells, 1, 2, 4, 8, 16 cells. It's gestation of when we're in our mother's embryo. When we're an embryo in her womb,
right?
It's called doubling. It's cell division.
Sure.
It's also called a chain reaction because you have 4, then 8, then 16. So thinking of it as a toy and playing with it like a game. Whenever you have a number that's bigger than 9, such as 10, you reduce it back to the single digit. So 1 plus 0 would equal 1. So 11 would equal 2. So you never go higher than 9. That's called decimal parity or cross addition or a discrete number, single digit. It's pretty easy.
Yeah.
So,
not
only did I take the binary code, which was thought to be infinite and show that it was a simple six, after six digits, it continued to repeat, a six-digit number pattern. But what the shocker is that I showed that it had bilateral symmetry, that it inverted at the axis. You have to look at the axis, which is the center. And along the axis, the axis is the secret of everything. What the axis is, it's AXIS. It's like you spin a top and it stands up by itself.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's based on spin physics. And the Earth has an axis, although the Earth may wobble, but that's because it's under-accelerated. But everything revolves around an axis. In between my hands, down the center of my, from my face down, I have a hairline. It's an axis down the middle of my torso. So what happened is I was able to array all mathematical functions and patterns around an axis to show that I was able to essentially combine every known branch of math together, every calculation, every function,
mm-hmm.
into a single model. And in that model, I was able to solve any mathematical question that had never been solved before. I was able to get answers to things. Essentially, I opened up Pandora's box. essentially, I found the fountain of youth. I found the secret of how nature, how creation was made, how God fashioned it. While God is unknown, he's... You know, his handiwork has I could reverse engineer.
Mm.
I reverse engineered creation. So the number pattern for infinity is 1, 2, 4, 8, 7, 5, 1, 2, 4, 8, 7, 5, repeated over and over again. That's because, and I'm not going to repeat it, I'm just going to say it fast, and I don't mind if people cannot keep up with me, they can go to see the videos on YouTube.
That's right, yep.
But the pattern is 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 1 plus 6 is 7, 32 equals 5, 64 is 10 is 1, I'm doubling, 128 is 11, I'm back to 2, 256 equals 13, 4, 5, 12 is 8, 1024 equals 7, 2048 equals 14, 5. It's always over and over again, 1, 2, 4, 8, 7, 5, 1, 2, 4, 8, 7, 5. You can call that like an invisible skeleton. There's a hidden lattice or matrix, okay?
Right.
So what I did is instead of looking at huge numbers, I didn't give a shit about big numbers.
Sure.
Okay. What I was looking for is I was looking for an interferometry pattern. Now I imagine everybody doesn't even know that word.
Nope.
The word for it is I was looking for a diffraction grating.
Yeah.
What I was trying to do is I was trying to create like when a person wears a striped suit on TV and it starts making all these interference patterns.
Right.
I was trying to create a moiré so that I could literally do an X-ray into the atom, into light.
Hmm.
And it worked. Nobody ever in their wildest fantasy could ever imagine that the simple counting numbers at the base 10 system that we use for all business accounting could actually be applied to physics and energy, particle physics, atomic energy, and looked into the nucleus of an atom. And I figured out how to create a mathematical interferometry. I'm laughing. I'm just laughing because it's just so beyond the pale of norm. You know, I'm just so out there on the fringe as a human being.
So, I mean, you know? What would you say? I mean, many people have heard of the kind of the basic, let's say, numerology. I mean, taking a large number, as you say, adding it up a number until you get a single digit. And what you work with here is a 1-9 system. That's it, right? Or is this a decimal system then?
It turns out that our discovery is that the only true base system must be based on a prime squared. So the first true base system is the decimal system. Decimal system is not 1 through 10. Decimal means it's powers of 10. So it's any base is always going to have, because of the missing zero, because zero is not a number, it's an absence, it's always going to be one number less than that base. So base 10 is modular 9.
Sure.
They're synonymous with the same thing. They're just two different ways of describing the same thing. So the next base system, so base 12, base 15 is not a true base system. It's a man-made contrivance.
Okay.
It doesn't work. That's because it's not a prime squared as its origins. I mean, I hate to throw the word out, but any base must make the shape of a toroid. Now, no one listening really knows what a toroid is, T-O-R-O-I-D. But our body is called the human torso, T-O-R-S-O, based on it.
Mm-hmm.
Energy, when it maintains itself, when energy can respirate and becomes a heat sink and can sustain itself and survive, when energy becomes alive, it makes the shape of a toroid, which is a donut. Our aura is in the shape of a donut. Our magnetic fields, take a bar magnet, which is the shape of our body,
yep.
The magnetic field, they're the same. It's a negative vortex at the top, it's compressing, the magnetic field is imploding at the top, it passes through our head, in through our body, and it explodes, comes out the other side in a white hole. It's always a two-stage surge pump with a third invisible part at the center. So it's always based upon the two-stage surge pump is compression, decompression, magnetic negative vortex to a magnetic positive vortex. Black hole to white hole, implosion to explosion.
Similar.
That makes the shape of the torus.
So
T-O-R-U-S.
Exactly. So when we look at Earth, for instance, we have the same model right there with the magnetic poles, right?
That's why 100% identical, the same. The Penellan belts, the energy belts, how everything diskets out. It's a universal cosmology constant that the solar system diskets out in a vortex.
Sure.
That vortex, that well, is the toroid, the donut. And that well comes from the word, it's our whole English language. All of our most positive adjectives are based on the principles of the donut. Like a well, are you well, which means the vortex, you know, whole. Look at the word whole.
Yeah.
H-O-L-E or W-H-O-L-E. Look at the word funnel or the word fun. Are we having fun? I mean, you know, it's been yelling and screaming for us to discover for a long time.
That's interesting that you mentioned that, because I think that these kind of things, there is a kind of a holographic or / kind of fractal way, even, you know, everything that humans touch, being aware by it or not, is kind of reflective of this, what you just said. But, I mean, do you think that this is could be someone who knows what's going on, so they picked and choose these words, or is this accidental? What do you think?
So, they left us what are called, when a computer program writer makes a program, he leaves what are called Easter eggs. Sometimes Hansel and Gretel, when they were lost, they left a path of cookie crumbs. This discovery is about to be lost again.
You think
so? I'm gone.
Really? You think so?
Well, unless I can put up all... So what is up there up online is probably 1/1,000th 1/1000th of a percent of what I've discovered.
Right now, is it time and then basically money that prevents you from, let's say, borrowing a DV cam from someone and going through this material again for the camera and then uploading it? What is preventing you from doing that?
Well, I do have a high-definition camera, so I don't have to borrow it.
Sure.
The problem is that what you're seeing there up online at YouTube is the equivalent of a baby that can't even walk, that's just laying on its back, an infant, that's like 2 months old, and can't even turn over itself. I've taken it so advanced that if I was to start explaining it on a video, a video is really not the medium for it. To tell you the truth, it's a visual medium, which this needs to be presented visually, but I really need to have technical writers.
Mm-hmm.
I need technical illustrators. Because, like, to explain some of the real hard documents I haven't even put up there. They're such a tough read. Like, one of the professors at the university, it's called, I'll name the name of the paper, though it's not up online.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the Phyllotaxis Prime Number Sieve. For him to have put that document together to show how he's able to predict any and all missing prime numbers through the growth of plants, I mean, the images alone are like 100 images. It's to explain just one thing is when you're approaching something that has been a scientific impossibility, an enigma, it takes a huge amount of skill and ability and communication.
Sure.
I mean, it's like writing a scientific article for a magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And for me to wear all the hats and do it all, so what I would do with the money, if I had it, I need to be able to hire the writers and artists, the
mm-hmm.
computer experts,
mm-hmm.
the teachers. You know, the schools have asked me to say they're failing in their test scores. And they've asked me to recreate it, to save their whole school. Even the school's about to go into reconstructure,
mm-hmm.
because there's so many schools failing in the United States, is about to be either shut down or taken over by the federal government. And they've asked me to come in and save their school. I'm meeting with I have a team of other mathematicians who are very devoted to me and recognize the validity of who and what I am and what I've discovered.
That's good.
And I'm meeting with one of them this Tuesday, and
mm-hmm.
he's coming here. But the problem is I don't have money to pay, and they want to use my work and create a teaching curriculum. But to take people off task of what their normal jobs are and to have them artists and writers and to communicate, they'll give me what I want. They'll give me the schools. I put the letter up on the website that the DOE wrote that for me. I didn't write that grant. It's the first link up at my website at www.markorodin.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I spell Marco Rodin, MarkoRodin. I spell my name with a K. And they did that grant for me. I think, I don't know, I got to be honest, I just don't have the time to make money. I just don't have the energy to pursue to make money. And so there is no money. I mean, I have inventions that are worth a fortune. You know, I didn't want to slow myself down.
Mm-hmm.
And although I'm not getting anything done, but it's so difficult for me to start working with other people and to waste my time so I've chosen this very difficult path.
Let's say like this, I mean, people are looking at this. I mean, they're interested and as you say, you have...
But most of the people mm-hmm. with money are profit motivated and they want to make money.
Well, sure, but I mean, in the meantime, screw them. I mean, the point here, I guess, that I'm reaching for is that what is important at this point that I think is that even if everyone that is looking at this doesn't have the money, whatever, and doesn't get it full to the full extent of what can be done with it, don't you think that the most important thing right now is to kind of document that even though the people around it who are looking at it actually don't get it? I mean, this could take time and you need to give us a little bit of time.
Let me give you an example, though.
Sure, sure.
Okay, let's just take a chunk of my of reality, of concrete, my concrete real existence.
Mm.
I bought an art tablet. I've had this art tablet sitting on my desk probably 3 months now, maybe 4 months. I've been trying to get to it to annotate my original book. I get a request almost every day, every other day, for my original book that I wrote, which was about 500 illustrations, about, I don't know, 50 pages of text, which is, for the most part, it's incomprehensible, what I explain. That's why it's too hard for everybody. So I was going to film me using the SAR tablet, film my computer screen. There's a software called Camtasia, which allows you to create program, educational instructional program, but I don't even know how to work the software. I have it sitting here on my desktop, so I haven't even been able to get to it. I just don't have the money to. I've gone through just trying to work on my car, keep it running. My day-to-day survival is just at least. So I start working at night. I start at sunset. I'm exhausted. Mm-hmm. I am as pitiful as it sounds. I am swallowed alive in just trying to exist. So I am going to do it. I'm going to document it. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be days. It's not going to be weeks. It's not going to be months. It's going to drag on for years. That's
sure.
The rate I'm going.
Sure. I mean, get it in. If we get kind of the idea into perspective here, if this is what you say, also the discovery of, well, basically what you're saying here is that this is a kind of a grand unified field theory, basically. And I mean, for the human race to kind of get this and solve this in you know a few months, that's probably not doable. I mean, this could extend, you know, for generations.
But the thing is, though, I might come across in speaking here now as very, very intellectual or very heady or mental or cerebral. Hey, man, this is kids' play.
Sure.
I hate to say it, you know, but there's no charade here. I don't want to be pompous. I don't want to act egotistical. My work has got to be the simplest, most primitive, basic. Of course it's the gut equation. Of course it's the grand unified field theory. Of course I've solved everything. And I give mankind essentially the holy bush that Moses came to when he was on the Mount Tor, okay? Or the you know, Ulysses' golden fleece, or the fountain of youth, or I have the secret of ending all diseases. I have the secret of inexhaustible electricity. I have the secret of how to travel anywhere through the universe. I mean, it's not by accident that I can get endorsements from the finest corporations or top engineers in the world or university professors, okay? But each one of them, I had to teach. They had to come and be my student, and it's agonizing because it's slow and painstaking. The truth is I can teach the same work. When those scientists learned from me, I taught them on the same level that I teach 10-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
When I go and give classes to children, which is my main audience, you know, I just got a letter from a professor here at the University of Hawaii, and he's put tens of thousands of hours in discoveries and applications of my work, telling me that I shouldn't be teaching it to children, that it takes a certain discipline, because he's applied it so far. The truth is my work is meant for kids.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Overlooking that, the technological profoundness of it, the truth is when children learn this work, they're transformed. They're now grounded. They're now anchored in mathematics. They now understand that numbers are real. They understand that nature is expressing herself with numbers. They understand because my work's all explained by using correlations of wormholes and black holes and manifolds and underpinning nested vortices and how everything follows a one-way positive path route and how time ratchets and how time dilates and expands and contracts and how the universe, the underpinning geometry is elastic and it can't be ripped or torn. I mean, essentially, I make children more advanced than even the finest professors in astrophysics at the university here because I give them a tool that nobody has. But I'm brutally honest. My tool is, while it's the most powerful one there is, it's so simple and so easy to master and to learn.
Well, there you go. I think you have it right there, because, again, if this is about another way of thinking, looking at things, be it patterns or you know, patterns in nature or numbers overall, I think you're dead on. You're right on there, because you need to teach kids, and then later on the kids, when they have the knowledge of this kind of system, will a consequence of that will be that they will probably develop, you know, devices or technology, or apply it in some other way to what they're doing when they're grown up. So I think you're right on, and that might be the answer to, you know, sustaining this knowledge, right?
I mean, I was reading the other night in the news that there was a publicist in UK, I forget his name. If I was to retain the services of a publicist or a fundraiser or a promoter or a manager or a marketer, my work could be applied from entertainment to media to teaching materials to homeschooling education to a major film. There's endless avenues, but, you know, those people haven't found me. If I haven't reached out to them, I really don't reach out very much. I mean, one of the people who saw my videos on YouTube introduced us together, and you've invited me to be the guest, and I'm enjoying myself, and this is what I like to do, and I'm sharing the information.
Yeah.
But I've never ever undertaken a commercial undertaking with my work. In all my years of working, I've never launched a commercial project. I know that's unbelievable and amazing, but I never have. It's just the way I am.
Mm-hmm.
I did this, and I'm still working on it, and I don't have the time to do a commercial project.
Sure.
Because I don't have the money to hire the staff, to function, to organize, to create the products, to do it. I have the products. My discovery, the research is done. The teaching curriculum is done. It's just a matter now of presenting it, because you have to have a polished, beautiful, you know, format. But my work, for the most part, is done. If everybody just was to know and acquire and have the information that I've done, it would immediately transform the world. It would be a panacea. It would obsolete the combustion engine. It would obsolete petroleum as a fuel source. I know probably people listening cannot believe what I'm saying. I get rid of petroleum as an energy source. I obsolete the combustion engine.
Where's Al Gore when you need him, huh? Huh?
I'm just a little guy buried in the landscape, you know, lost in the forest.
But I mean, I don't think so.
People refer me all the time to top famous people, and I say, hey, look, these people got gateways. You can't even get through their front door. So I'm dead in the water. It's just that simple. It's hard to be so brutally honest about who and what I am, but I'm dead in the water.
Let's talk a little bit about the Rodin coil. Is this kind of the main, how should I put it, the main product, so to speak, that you have gotten out from this system, from this vortex-based mathematics? Or?
Okay. The Rodin coil, the first ones were made by Bill Ramsey. He had some profound results. He had one that he couldn't turn off. He had weight asymmetries. In other words, that the top of the coil weighed a different amount of weight than the bottom of the coil when you flipped it on a scale. That's all pretty profound claims. He claimed on his first coil that he was getting 60% greater output. I asked him to send the coil to Hewlett Packard's. They tested it. They said that indeed he was right on the money. He was 100, they were getting the same output results. They were blown away because I was using no core. I could use less copper and still get more magnetism. The potential commercially is immense. But I had no interest in using copper coils. That's never been my desire.
Okay.
To make. I consider it too primitive. And what I really made was, which I set forth in my book, which is I've never had the money to go and pursue to do prototyping. Is I made a plasma device that had no moving parts. It was like a solid-state motor.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that was moving was the microscopic electrical particles themselves, the electron moment. I made a... So I make a device that is like a man-made tornado or a man-made hurricane.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what you make it out of. The fact that we use copper is not significant, because any continuous medium can be made into the most powerful energy device. A hurricane is made out of water, typically, or a tornado out of air. They're completely different mediums, water and air, yet you still see the same vortex toroidal shape.
Sure.
Yeah. Electricity moves in a spiral. I could make an electrical man-made tornado. I know it's beyond anybody's wildest flight of fancy of their imagination. But that's what I do. Now, the most important way that nobody knows how to control these devices, so they say, other than myself. In fact, it has been said, and I'm not going to refer to the quoted sources, that these devices are so destructive that they should be all destroyed because even the operator cannot control them and they destroy the operators.
Hold on right there. Can I stop you right there? And because that's an interesting point. What I'm thinking about when you say that is, when you say that you've discovered this and the power behind this, are the human race as it is today ready for a device like this? Is there some divine interference right here at this level, meaning that we shouldn't maybe perhaps at this point tampering with a power like this yet? What do you think?
No, I don't conform to that perspective.
Okay, sure.
My view is this is my, I treat myself like a king. I know what my will is, my behest, my decree.
Sure.
And I cannot tolerate the destruction of our environment. I cannot condone nuclear weapons. Okay?
Mm.
So I replace it with a technology that is so powerful that it makes it look, the existing technology look like a firecracker.
Sure, sure.
And I'm taking possession of my world. I'm a human being, and I don't like the way it looks, and I'm going to change it.
That's right.
And I have a technology that can encompass everything that exists today. And so my goal is to go ahead and create. It's called a reactionless drive. It's unaffected by any. I was selected by the biggest aerospace convention in the history of the United States. Aerospace America is having the most revolutionary propulsion system ever created. The editor, James Martin, of the biggest military publication in the world, Defense Science Magazine, selected me as having the most revolutionary propulsion system ever created for outer space.
Mm-hmm.
And, I obsolete the space shuttle. I obsolete the combustion engine. Rocketry is an arcane science.
I agree.
And so I don't even worry if mankind's capable of. I don't worry about the destructive nature of mankind. My work on DNA, when I published it at the biggest genetic engineering conference in the world, IBEX, International Biotechnological Exposition,
mm-hmm.
I shared the work with Kenneth Clivington, who is the director of research for the Salk Institute. And a very kind gesture was made to me by Jonas Salk. He called me up at my office one day when I was working. I was exhausted because I'd been doing illustrations at that time for my original book. And he said, the reason I'm calling you and not inviting you to my office is because everybody wants to say they've been to Jonas Salk's office. As you know, Jonas Salk invented the polio vaccine.
Mm-hmm. I did not.
And he says, I just wanted to tell you that I think your work is so advanced that I don't think it'll be understood in your lifetime unless you clone yourself. And then he changed his tone of voice, and he got very ashen and very dark. And he said, as your personal physician, I'm concerned about your self-abuse. It's in mankind's nature to war. Mankind will always fight and kill. He says there will always be another Vietnam. I refuse to agree with him. I refuse to concede. Of course, he wasn't my personal physician. We had never even met. But he recognized, he had a love for me, and he recognized in me what he had seen maybe in many other doctors and in himself, that we work ourselves to death, that we self-destruct by putting in endless long hours and physically just grind, wear ourselves into the ground.
Mm.
And at that time, I practically didn't have a voice. I was so exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that mankind may use my work and my discoveries to destroy the earth. It wouldn't be hard to do. But at the same time, I have to say, believe and hope that there's a redeeming side to it too.
Yeah.
That maybe I will throw mankind to the stars. I make mankind the curator of the galaxies. I make us the custodian of all the solar systems. hard to comprehend that. But I have found not a one level advanced, not just a couple levels of more advanced technology. I have found the quintessential, ultimate, I have reached into the empyrean of technology.
Hmm.
You know, I have the quintessential science. And so all I'm doing is trying to present it in a loving, holistic, organic, positive, and beautiful presentation.
Hmm.
I'm just not, that's why I haven't accepted offers to go and make weapons of destruction.
Sure.
Because of the fact that, you know, the funny thing is I will horrify everybody. I am a hawk. I'm very aggressive. You know, there's 250,000 people in North Korea in one penal colony, concentration camp alone. Today, as we're talking, with no food, forced labor, I wouldn't tolerate that. I'd cross there's no national boundaries to me. I'd go in there and I'd free those 250,000 people. You got grandparents, you got their children, you got their grandchildren, all because they said something slanderous to Kim Jong. Okay?
Mm.
I'm a hawk. I don't believe that country's sovereign and that they can do whatever they want to the people there.
Sure.
So believe me, I have no problems with the military. I have no problems recognizing that the military is critically important to the survival of each country and to our world. It isn't that I'm against the military. It's just that I know that my work would never reach the average person if I catered and gave them proprietary advantage. So I try to level the playing field. I try not to give anybody an exclusive,
mm-hmm,
because it is not my goal for my work to be suppressed and kept secret. When it allows children and adults to recognize that there is an all-coherent intelligence behind creation, I literally mathematically prove, I have the first mathematical evidence of the existence of spirit, of an irresistible emanation that comes from the center of mass of every atom, that is the source of all genetic information and encryption, that it is how all information is preserved and duplicated. I have found the secret of cellular communication. Evolution is bullshit. There is no such thing as haphazard, random error and chance for evolution.
Yeah.
I have found what they call intelligent design, I take it one step further. I have found how spirit is emanating from the major groove within DNA,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm,
that how it controls all mitosis and all sister strand unraveling, how it controls all cleavage and receptor sites of DNA. I can mathematically see spirit. I know how to harness it. I know how it works. It creates a process which I define as underpinning nested vortices.
Mm-hmm.
And it's through the world boundary conditions of these underpinning nested vortices that I am able to see how all genetic coding and information is controlled.
Mm.
I could go into it further and deeper, but ultimate way that you control, so when you ask me if I make a coil, is that my ultimate device? Rather, the reason my coils are so efficient, the reason I get rid of resistance using simple materials like copper, the reason I'm able to get such a greater output of magnetism is because I create over the surface topology of this torus little eddy currents, little underpinning nested vortices, like dimples on a golf ball that give it its flight and lift characteristics.
Mm-hmm.
And these underpinning nested vortices are the secret of how I can use this as a spaceship to navigate anywhere throughout the world.
Hmm. So you're literally then tapping into the, well, I mean, people have referred to it as the zero point energy, or some kind of, you know, invisible, basically, force that is throughout everything in our in our universe, basically. And this is what you're tapping into. Is that what you're saying?
The zero point energy, the vortex, the hole, mining the vacuum plenum of space. If you know how to do it right, you create a localized space-time implosion. essentially, you make a man-made black hole on the laboratory bench top.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's the same principle as the steady-state Big Bang. And so what I'm able to do is out of that zero-point energy comes like a BB, like a hurling vector, like a spear, comes spirit. You can call it prana, chi, monopole, tachyon, dark matter. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's irresistible, penetrates everything. It is the source of all motion, vibration, and time. It is the source of the non-decaying spin of the electron. And that emanation, that positive emanation, creates negative draft counter space. It's the source of everything we see in physics today, in our Newtonian, relativistic, quantum world. It's the ultimate source of everything.
Hmm.
And so that spirit emanation, I'm able to harness as a work wheel.
Hmm.
If you were to take it away, if it was to cease to exist, the universe would instantly become destitute and void. And so I know how the trick is that there is a harmonic phasing. Okay, there is a pulse rate to spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in relationship to electricity, in relationship to magnetism.
Sure.
And I use it like a work wheel. And so because I know spirit is not everywhere all at once, all at the same time. The ratio is only 1/6 to anything. You have to have rest or off stages to matter so that you can have, what would you refer to it as? Precession, so you could have movement and free play.
Mm-hmm.
Because if everything was energized and activated all simultaneously, you would not have any give or take. You would have a log jam.
See what
you would
you
have
mean.
Like everything trying to squeeze through at once.
Sure.
The mouth of the river. And you would have congestion.
Mm.
So the ratio is only 1/6 of spirit to creation. And that we think that we're alive constantly, that everything's on, that we're existing constantly. But we just can't see the dark spaces in between the times of quiescence and rest.
Mm.
I'm being very metaphysical.
Sure,
and no, abstract. That's my nature.
It's beautiful. I think I see what you mean, and you know, even that I can't understand it per se or break it down in that way. I understand the logic, so to speak, behind it. I can I see what you mean. I mean, this is again a constant, a pattern. Again, if you look at nature or creation, whatever you look into, we have these cycles of birth and death, and it's right there. So I mean, I subscribe to the idea of looking up there tells you about something down there, or vice versa. So I definitely see what you mean. That's right.
So I put this on the table to whoever's listening.
Mm.
If you're a web designer and you can put in a full-time job, I won't work with people off premises. Either I would have to be there, or they would have to come here.
Why?
I cannot work remotely.
Why?
Because I don't have the video conferencing. I don't have the equipment for the high resolution, and to be able to afford the. I mean, Adobe makes it certain software, but it's expensive.
Do you have? Do you have broadband connection where you are?
The problem is if for me to be able to stream video explaining to a web designer to do it, it's very intensive.
Sure.
It would require me to have an investment. The cheapest low end of the equipment for professional video conferencing starts at $15,000.
No, it doesn't.
If I have state-of-the-art equipment,
sure.
Believe me, I would rather live as a recluse. You know, I like to be in isolation. So.
Mm.
I would love to be able to do video conferencing and streaming.
But Marco,
offers all the time from people wanting to be a web designer or an artist and help me.
Sure.
But they're in other states and other countries, and I say, look, I don't have the energy or time to walk you through this on the telephone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, it's a waste of my time.
Marco, what's wrong with a webcam and Skype?
I have too many drop-offs. I tried it,
okay.
It doesn't give it. The video did not work for me. Maybe
okay.
If other people got it to work, great. I have not been able to get it to work. I tried.
Okay. Huh. Well, I'm asking because, I mean, because I want to kind of narrow it down, basically, you know, for people that are interested out there.
I would still help to have a technical, then I would help to have some, I need to have a systems ops person. I mean, I'm wearing too many hats. It's just that simple.
Okay.
I'm trying to delegate. I'm trying to take away from me the responsibility of all the technical engineering equipment responsibility if I can.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't want to do everything. I don't want to be the broadcaster as well. If somebody wants to put together and create, you know, episodes and educational information series, hey, I'm all for it.
I mean, there was one guy on YouTube, for instance, that had posted a three-dimensional model of your toroid. He took a two-dimensional sheet. Did you see that? And
yep.
Turn it around. I mean, are you in contact with that guy, for instance?
He moved here just to work and help with me.
There we go.
He's been a right-hand man to me. But the problem, I can say he's literally, he's fed me, give me transportation. He's looked after me, not just the technical end. He's a master 3D animator, but he can't put any more time in for me. He has to work. He has to make money. He wants to be paid.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
And people can only volunteer so many hours out of their day.
So, okay, if we were to break it down here before we round things up, and we'd love to have you, of course, if you have time, another half an hour and speak to you a little bit more in our subscriber section. I'd love to ask you about the Hebrew letters, about the yin-yang. There's much more to talk about here. But before we round things up for this first segment here, I want to go over again exactly what you need from other people. And you know, you mentioned a webmaster, potential someone investor, someone that can help you with the technical details, even put together a book. Say what you want, and maybe there's someone out there listening.
Well, I can't do anything from where I'm at. So I have enough room for maybe one or two more people, maybe three. Otherwise, there's no space, square footage. So if I was really have a facility where people could live and work, and how would I staff that facility? I would hire artists and writers. The work's done. So I'd hire people that were film production, script writers, you know. It takes a philanthropist. It takes somebody to underwrite the whole program. Otherwise, if I can't get anything done, I'm just limping along. I mean, I'd rather, if I'm going to continue to be ineffective, then I would probably like to travel, and I've never been to Sweden or anywhere else. I'd probably like to explore and expose my children to it, and it's very sad that I can't be effective and get much more work done.
Maybe maybe traveling is the answer, to travel around and meet other people, and potentially something good might come out of that. Who knows?
It would take a manager, a seminar manager. I don't have one. Who would be coordinating the events and doing all of it?
Well, I mean, you don't.
Now, all of this obviously is going to transpire. I mean, I've been living somewhat deliberately in a isolated lifestyle.
Mm-hmm,
Like the biggest college speaking bureau in the United States on the East Coast has asked me to provide them information, and I still haven't even done that.
Mm.
My goal was just to finish the research, if I could actually live in seclusion, and if I could pay the bills and just finish applying my work to genetics, that would be the biggest reward to my own self, to finish my work with that, to help mankind.
Mm.
You know, it's probably, you know, I work with writers. I work with, they would like to work full-time with me, an artist. But they can't. They need money.
Okay.
So I guess that answers that. I'd be glad to explain about the yin and yang. I think that there is no duality, that it's really the minimum amount is thirds. I'd be glad to go into detail about spirit or magnetism, about sacred geometry or the pyramid, or what people have done, discoverings with this work.
Fascinating. Marco, let's take a short break right here then, and just end up, round up again, and mention the two the main website that you have for us.
I use my name because it's easier to remember. So it's MarcoRodin.com. It's MarcoRodin.com. sometimes online you can see what other people have done, not myself. If you type in under images on such as the Roden coil, which they named after me. On YouTube, I have the videos are organized, there's about 40 of them, in sequence order. I would really request that everybody subscribe to my YouTube video account to be uploaded, to be notified when I upload new videos, because I don't keep a mailing list. I'm not going to inform people when I add more information.
Mm.
And that's kind of where my clearinghouse is, where I first launch and share the information, is up on YouTube. And if you subscribe, you'll be kept informed. So if you go to my main channel, my main homepage on YouTube, there's a playlist, and if you hit play all, it'll play the videos in order. I must say that, you know, I explain fractals and ad infinitum, from micro to macro, the secret of harmonic cascadence of energy, how it's reticulating and being transmitted through numbers and everything, and how numbers are really representing dimension. But again, it's all under my name, Marco Rodin, MarkoRodin.
Excellent. MarcoRodin.com. Do check it out, everybody, and take a look at those YouTube clips and see what you think about it. We'll be right back, but for this segment, thank you very much, Marco.
It's been a pleasure.
Marco and I will continue talk in our subscriber section now. We're going to get into a lot more about genetics, DNA, also about magnetism and religion, spirituality in general, quantum computing and quantum mechanics, a lot more to come. So head on over to redicecreations.com to find out how to sign up and tune in. We will be back again on Thursday. Until then, take good care and thank you for listening.